Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Britain and the world are saying goodbye Monday to Queen Elizabeth II at a state funeral that will draw up to 1 million people lining the streets of London. An estimated 20,000 soldiers and police are assigned to protect dignitaries from all around the world. President Trump held a rally in Ohio over the weekend called Save America. Trump called out the current administration for attempting to destroy America.
For many years, a vile group of corrupt, power-hungry globalist socialists and liberal extremists in Washington has been waging war on the hard-working people of Ohio. They sold off your factories, shut down your coal mines, closed up your steel mills, shipped away your jobs, sacrificed your energy industry, threw open your borders and trampled on your values. And a poll just came out. Did you see it? I'm 18 points up on Biden. Who wouldn't be? Who wouldn't be?
President Biden has again said the United States would defend Taiwan in the event of an attack by China. Asked in a CBS News interview if U.S. troops would defend the island, Mr. Biden said yes, if in fact there was an unprecedented attack. White House handlers clarified Biden's remarks, saying, quote, the official U.S. policy, which doesn't commit to a military action on Taiwan, has not changed, end quote. A bus crash caused by heavy rains in Costa Rica left 9 people dead on Saturday night. Heavy rains across the country caused landslides in the west part of the country, about 45 miles from the capital of San Jose. 2 Monday night football games tonight, Tennessee at Buffalo and Minnesota at Philadelphia. Visit us online at usaradio.com. We are USA Radio News.
In the 1800s, there were 160 spas set up in Europe to dispense fresh liquid whey. The sick would recover their health and the aged would become rejuvenated. There's only one whey protein powder on the market that can generate and surpass the results seen in the whey spas in Europe. But first, let me tell you the story of 90-year-old Mary, who was semi-bedridden and in hospice care. Mary had been consuming only a pea protein and pasteurized milk drink. Then Mary was put on to Green Meadow whey mixed with raw milk. She was given 2 to 3 whey drinks per day. On the very first day, Mary was up and came into the kitchen and made chicken soup. She was on her feet for many hours. 3 days later, Mary had gained 2.5 pounds of healthy weight. Green Meadow Whey is health giving to both young and old. Green Meadow Whey is guaranteed to make you feel better, stronger, reduce your inflammation, and eliminate virtually all toxins from your body without feeling sick. To order, go to bestwhyprotein.net. That's bestwhyprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
The University of Oregon had to apologize for the actions of their students at a football game over the weekend.
The University of Oregon apologized for the profane-laced chants from the student section during Saturday's football game against Brigham Young University. Video posted to social media showed some of the students saying the chant. BYU is a private university affiliated with the Latter-day Saints Church. Utah Governor Spencer Cox shared the video, commenting that religious bigotry is alive and celebrated in Oregon. A group representing the student section apologized for the language late Saturday. For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns in New York.
Mike Lindell, the founder of MyPillow and other products at a fast food restaurant drive-thru last week, was boxed in by FBI agents and was threatened that if he didn't give up his cell phone, they would take it from him by any means necessary.
Signed by a judge, and I'm going, okay, I'm going to call, can I call my attorney or one of my attorneys? He goes, no. And then he goes, I said, I can't call my attorney, and you think I'm going to give you my phone? If I don't give you my phone, am I going to be arrested? He said, no, but we are going to take the phone.
Mr. Lindell on the Charlie Kirk Show last week. A database for tracking the world's fossil fuel productions, reserves, and emissions goes online Monday to coincide with climate talks taking place at the United Nations General Assembly in New York. The Global Registry of Fossil Fuels includes data from over 50,000 gas, oil fields in 89 countries. Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
Hey folks, here's great news for active aging seniors. The Kanega Watch, the only medical alert smartwatch with built-in fall detection. Yeah, the Kanega Watch is much different than the other guys. It's a stylish, discreet watch you can wear all the time. Get help through the watch in one of three ways. Your voice, pushing the watch's alert button, or have the fall detection connect you to a U.S.-based 24/7 monitoring center who'll speak to you through your watch and can send help to your GPS location nationwide. And get this, it can do that even if you're not responsive. This is true 24/7 peace of mind for you and those that love you. Order your Kanega watch with a full refund 30-day trial period. Call now, 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you with us. And it's great to have Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller with us. I've been looking forward to this interview. And you have no idea how I've been trying to get a hold of him ever since he was the lone soldier, the lone Marine, Semper Fi, Colonel, I will say to you, from one former Marine to another. I was so proud of you to stand up and to hold accountable the generals that were just, I don't know, how can you put it, the debacle of the departure and the way America was misrepresented in our departure of Afghanistan.
Bill, I really appreciate you having me on. And, yes, I feel like our senior military leaders, we deserve more. We deserve them to stand up for values in critical moments, and they fell short of that standard.
Well, it's like they've lost the idea of what the mission of the military is, Colonel. What do you say?
Yeah, I think they are more concerned with their career, with their post-career lucrative opportunities. They have stated over and over that they were following the orders that they were given. That's the same excuse that the soldiers fighting for the German army
exactly.
in World War II said, we need senior leaders that have intelligence, that stand up for American values and can push back in key moments when there is obvious writing on the wall of impending failure. That's what we pay them to do. That's what we train them and educate them to do. And they have, you know, since Vietnam, really fallen short of that standard.
Yeah, I was a Vietnam era vet. And I served in public relations, U.S. public affairs at Camp Pendleton, Colonel, and saw a lot there, and as you can imagine. And I was very frustrated, even in my very embryonic state and understanding of the military, the way Vietnam was handled and mishandled. And it was like we learned nothing from that. There was really no positive takeaway. And now here we are today in the 21st century, and the generals are more concerned about pronouns and political correctness, but yet they tell the American people that critical race theory is not a part of the military. I mean, that seems to be a flat-out lie in face in consideration of what we see happening in the military today. Is that a fair statement, or am I being too jaundiced in that statement?
No, 100%. I think where we went wrong in Vietnam is we allowed the general officers who made many tactical and operational mistakes. When you look at Khe Sanh, the military deemed it strategically important on the Ho Chi Minh Trail. We sacrificed thousands of people, and then all of a sudden, one day, unceremoniously, it was not important anymore. We never went back and said who were the generals that said it was important, then it wasn't important. So following Vietnam, we blamed it on the draft and the drugs and the junior service member. We didn't hold any senior military leaders accountable. In fact, we then passed the Goldwater-Nichols legislation that in many ways further empowered the general officer class. Now we have what's called the combatant command structure, and we have these general officers that are presiding over these large forces in foreign diplomacy, and they really have not lived up to the expectations that we should be expecting from our senior military leaders. And so you're exactly right. It's a systemic problem. We promote these people based on their ability to please their boss and not necessarily their performance. Systemically, we ultimately weed out moral courage in a lot of ways, and I address that in my book. But ultimately, we have these senior military leaders that, you know, whether you want to call it critical race theory, the climate control General Milley was talking about, the reason, you know, senior military leaders' responsibility is to give warfighting advice on how to use violence to compel our enemies or foreign adversaries to do what our politicians have been unable to do through diplomacy or information or other sources of national power. That's what the military is there for.
Exactly. But
the reason they have gotten off course is because they realize that, you know, whatever is vogue in the current day, so today it's wokeism, they need to cater to these people so that they can protect their positions, and it doesn't benefit the service writ large. And so what we need is senior military leaders to protect the purpose of the organization, which should be warfighting, and right now that's kind of a lost art.
What about, for me, in my observation of what was happening in Vietnam, was the inordinate placement and, how do I want to say it, influence of, you know, civilian military so-called experts.
Yeah, we still have that today. I think in the Iraq war, there's a perfect example where Bush made some civilians the leader of the Iraq. I'm not blanking on the guy's name. I want to say it was Pete or something. But he then basically told all the Sunnis that were in the previous Ba'ath regime that they were no longer part of the Iraqi government, and ultimately turned that entire force into insurgents overnight. It was a terrible decision. And so, yes, you have these politicians that are putting people in place. I mean, the same thing happened with Obama and Benghazi.
Yes.
The same thing happened with Obama and Syria, the red line that he said he wouldn't cross, and then he listened to advisors that had no military experience. And so we consistently have these politicians that are listening to people that don't have the expertise. But the flip side is, when they do listen to the senior military leaders, they're not getting great advice from the senior military leaders either. So the senior military leaders aren't necessarily this fountain of knowledge, as we've seen. They kind of lack the courage and the competence that we need as well. So what we end up happening is these politicians that will listen to other people because the military generals have demonstrated that they don't have the performance or capability that a MacArthur or a Patton maybe had back in
exactly.
World War II generation. We just don't have those types of leaders anymore.
When their interest, when the people's interest and the constitutional interest of the military is subordinated to their own personal gain, we suffer. And we've been suffering for decades here, Colonel. And I guess, you know, here it is. You know the history, and you've seen this. I mean, having been a Marine for 17 years, and let me say this for our audience's sake, you know, from two former Marines, and that is that our oath of office never concludes. We're always Marines. We've been wired this way. This is in our heart. This is our passion. And when we realize that things are not being done in a manner that serves those that we have given a vow to protect, that is an anathema. That is absolutely cruel and unusual punishment for those of us that want to defend this country and our liberties.
100%. You know, it's funny, when I got done with my court-martial, the judge said that I should be issued a letter of reprimand, and my general, a two-star named Dale Alford, he wrote in there that my narcissistic actions had violated my solemn oath. And I responded to him, and I was like, I don't understand why the oath means something different to you. You know, I know very well what the oath says. It says that I'm supposed to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That doesn't mean that every regulation is guiding me on a path that is in line with that solemn oath. And so it's like the oath only applies when you're doing what they tell you to do, even if what they tell you to do violates that oath. And so sometimes it requires critical thought. It requires leaders to step back and say, hey, I'm a military officer. They don't pay me to follow orders. They pay me to know when not to follow orders. And that requires some leadership and some courage, which right now seems to be absent.
Well, and I got to imagine, Colonel, that your example, I mean, had to have a resounding effect on other officers, though they didn't come out, though they kind of, you know, you stepped forward, the rest of them stepped back. But wow, I mean, the contrast of courage and commitment is there. And I can only imagine for some Marine officers that this is troubling, that your actions have caused them to maybe take a deeper look into themselves and their own conscience. What do you think?
Yeah, I 100% agree. I mean, nothing changes overnight. We didn't get into this problem overnight. We're not going to get out of it in a short amount of time. But I have seen small strides based on what I did. I text with a one-star general friend. I'll call him a friend. And they're in a one-star general symposium right now. And so all the one-stars come together, and they get basically classes from the senior government employees and the 3 and 4 star generals.
Exactly. We're talking with Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, his book Crisis of Command, and we have more from him after this. Stay with us.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Packages start at $29.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details. Terms and conditions apply.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. Now you can get Vivint's award-winning home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the best professionally installed home security system of 2022. And right now, you can get Vivint's home security technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation from a licensed technician. Protect your home and loved ones for as low as a dollar a day. Call right now for your free home security consultation.
800-584-2518. 800-584-2518. 800-584-2518. That's 800-584-2518.
This is Don Schenk with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ worldwide in the languages people were born to speak. Literacy is a vital foundation of opportunity and development all around the world, yet only 75% of Indians know how to read and write. The Tide Ministry's adult literacy program in India not only gives people the opportunity to learn how to read and write, but also a chance to hear about the good news of Christ. In just the past 3 months, over 600 people have attended our adult literacy classes across the country. An added benefit of this outreach is that it shows villagers that they're important to us, and even more important to our Heavenly Father. We pray this outreach continues to grow and change lives, all for the betterment of God's kingdom. To learn how you can pray for and encourage people in India who are experiencing the love of Christ as they learn to read and write in their own language, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
And independent, just the way you like to hear from us Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. The United States Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, his book Crisis of Command, How We Lost Trust and Confidence in America's General and Politicians. As you'll recall, the colonel was the lone Mohegan, as we might say, who stood up in the face of what happened in Afghanistan and called the generals, called our government into account, and he paid a huge price after serving our country faithfully, being awarded having many awards for his courage and his valor. And the Marine Corps said, thank you very much, you're out. Is that a quick summary of
yeah, I don't think
the way things happen? Except for the no thank you, huh? Yeah.
Yes, it escalated very quickly. So I made a video demanding accountability. I knew none of my senior military leaders would have the courage to not only accept accountability, but that I played this game long enough to know that the military has figured out how to weaponize the media and that this would be spun as a success. And I couldn't sit idly and complacent in the system any longer. It was the hill that I was willing to die on. But when I made that first video, I wasn't planning on making any other statements. But I assumed there would be an investigation. Following the investigation, I would be relieved. But what a leader in any organization should do, if there's a mid-level manager, which is the equivalent of what I was, addresses a sentiment that taps into the sentiment of almost your entire organization. Once you reprimand that employee and get order back in the system, you take that employee around the organization and address the deep discontent. That's the only way that you can get this thing back in the system. But at no point has any senior military leader acknowledged the content of what I was trying to say, nor has anyone been held accountable. And so that's something different. That's cowardice, and I didn't expect that. So they fired me immediately, didn't have an investigation, and then they started questioning my honor, projecting mental instability on me. And there's nothing more important to me than my honor. And so I had a decision to make. I could apologize and back away from my statements and try and hold on to my retirement and hide in a cubicle somewhere, or I could stand by my statements and continue to apply pressure on the system. And so obviously I took the second one, and then it escalated very quickly, and it ended up with me being imprisoned in solitary confinement for 9 days. I got let out after agreeing to plead guilty at a special court-martial, and then submitted my resignation, exited the Marine Corps on Christmas Eve of 21.
Wow. And, of course, 17 years... erased in a sense. I mean, there's no retirement. Everything is foregone for you taking a stand on behalf. And I mean this, Colonel. I mean, you took a stand for all America that holds to these values. And to say thank you just seems that's not even enough. And I just pray that God in his redemptive quality will make a way for you that you perhaps maybe are not seeing right now, but down the road. For some reason, I just see your leadership so important and vital that it will not go to waste, that this will have a redeeming value. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised somewhere down the road if you end up being a senator or something, you know, because this is a way to fight back, I think, just in my humble opinion.
I appreciate that. You know, I think God has a way to whisper, but it's on us to be courageous enough to follow that path. And so right now I'm trying to just follow the path, but I don't really know where it's going. And so in a lot of ways that's scary, but I agree with you that anything that does not kill us only makes us stronger. This whole experience has made me stronger. It's provided a ton of opportunities, and I'm going to continue to walk the path, whether that ends up in the Senate or wherever it leads. I'm not sure yet, but I'm excited for the new path, and I don't regret anything I did. I stand by my statements. I joined the military originally to leave a better America for my children, and that is still my plan, and I'm going to do that in any leadership capacity that I can.
Well, Godspeed. How's your family doing, Colonel?
You know, it was real tough on them. They were, when I was in jail, it was a circus in the Camp Lejeune town of Jacksonville, North Carolina. They were getting ridiculed, and so that we had to move them away. So they moved back to my ex-wife's hometown. I went through a divorce. But, you know, it was tough on her, too. She had a really tough ordeal. We were together for 17 years. And so she's still the mother of my children. And I have nothing but love or good things to say about her. But right now we're on separate paths.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hear that. 17 years, and like you said, this is a tough situation. And what you did for the sake of your values, sometimes we have those moments, those appointed times, and those crucibles that come into our life, and you got to take a stand. And I could only imagine how frustrating it would have been for you had you just assigned yourself to a cubicle and stayed quiet.
Yeah, and that was the question, Bill. And I came to the conclusion that I couldn't live my life like that. This was one of those moments in your life where it was defining in a lot of ways, and I had to really ask myself, what do I believe in? Am I strong enough to go through the ridicule that I know I'm going to be subjected to. And I just decided, you know, if not me, who, if not now, when? That was the time. And I decided to keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And as you say, you still have friends in the military, a one star that you referenced and that has been supportive of you. And, you know, how about others? Have others now spoken out after you demonstrated the courage to take on, you know, what was an absolute mess? I mean, costly. You know, as your book says, there's thousands of people we know, certainly of 13, many, what, with 12 at least, were Marines that died there, you know, during the departure of Afghanistan, the Afghanistan pullout.
Most, when I made my statements, there was a sharp divide between the junior enlisted and then field grade officers and above. So the junior enlisted, because when I made those statements, I was still coming into work every day, almost all the way up until my departure. And so driving through the base, it was like gate guards hugging me, wanting to take pictures, thanking me. And that kind of epitomized the sentiment of the junior enlisted. But then you'd get into the office and the field grade officers would be mean mugging you and were just very, it was contentious. And that kind of summarizes the divide. Other senior officers choose to, I mean, I violated rules. Like, I violated the social media policy. I publicly announced my name and rank in uniform, which you shouldn't do. It's against the rules, and I've acknowledged that. But I did it because I thought that military officers are paid to know when not to follow the rules, and that was one of those key moments. And the people that focus on just the rules that I broke within the failing system and not addressing the content of what I said or the failures of those above them ultimately is cowardice. And it's right. Easier for senior officers to condemn me, because to agree with me would be an indictment on their own inability to do the same thing that I did.
Exactly. Exactly. In the final chapter of your book, you address the way forward. Tell our audience your vision, the way forward for today's military.
Quite honestly, I mean, very simply can be put, we need to fix the leadership in the military. If you fix the leaders, it will fix the culture and all other problems will fall in line. Now, how do you fix the leadership? It's not that easy. And I try to address that in the book. But in the way forward, one of the key points I make is we have to sever the tie from likability to performance. And so right now in the military, if I'm a commander and I have five subordinates, I rank them 1 through 5. And people that play the game long enough figure out that it's less about their performance than their trade and more about getting their boss to like them. And that ultimately conditions people to just give their boss whatever they want, to be a yes man, whatever you want to call it. And that's why we have senior generals. I mean, 4 stars takes 4 years to get there. They've literally been conditioned for 40 years to just impressing their boss and getting their boss to like them and not pushing back in meetings and so on and so forth. And so that's probably the cancer that affects all other things. There's a whole other bunch of issues, because it's a complicated problem. There's no simple solution to fixing the military. But I do think that the book lays out different solutions for us to figure it out.
Right. And the historic content is valuable as well, because it gives us a perspective from somebody who was not only in the room, but somebody who was in the field of battle. And what you share with us is invaluable. The way forward that you address really is a cultural issue. And as we know, with all things cultural, it takes generations to build and it takes generations to rebuild. Colonel, I cannot thank you enough. I appreciate the time. Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller has been our guest, United States Marine Corps, proudly. Crisis of Command, How We Lost Trust and Confidence in America's Generals and Politicians. The book will be proudly linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Colonel, thank you for the time. Godspeed, my friend.
Semper Fi, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can
offer you wonderful money-saving benefits. But you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Britain and the world are saying goodbye Monday to Queen Elizabeth II in a state funeral that will draw up to a million people lining the streets of London. An estimated 20,000 soldiers and police are assigned to protect dignitaries from around the world. President Trump held a rally in Ohio over the weekend called Save America. Trump called out the current administration for attempting to destroy America.
And together we are going to end crazy Nancy Pelosi's political career once and for all.
Hurricane Fiona knocked out Puerto Rico's electrical system Sunday afternoon, leaving millions without power and thousands without running water, as devastating floods and landslides destroyed roads, homes, and at least one bridge. Puerto Rico Governor Pedro Pierluisi said the damage is catastrophic. USA Radio News.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
And we're back with you 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Good to have you with us. Also great to have Dr. Michael Rubin, the resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute and former Pentagon official. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Pretty good, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you here. A somber day. The Queen is being laid to rest with all the deserved pomp and circumstance and the mourning of, I would say, and the hearts of billions of people around the world.
Indeed. I mean, it's very interesting to see the outpouring when people will focus on the faults of colonialism. I don't think that many understand how so many across the world have by choice decided to emulate the British model and what the British model has contributed to countries around the globe.
Well, certainly there's been a debate about it, and I think that sometimes, and we've interviewed recently here Dr. Bruce Gilley, who's done a deep dive on this issue of colonialism, and again, when man gets involved, we have a tendency to do things based on the clock instead of on the people. And I think that there could have been, maybe in retrospect, of course, it's easy for us to look at it, you know, decades down the road and say, wow. But I think we should do that in order to learn from it, to say, okay, what are the key takeaways of colonialism? What good did it have to offer? Where did it fall short? And when we jettisoned these countries, I mean, too often here, we end up with civil war and unintended consequences.
Well, you know, Bill, I'm a Middle Eastern historian by training, and when I look at this debate, so much is involved in how you set the framework. I've had any number of academics, for example, look at the British come into the region in the early 19th century, and then they look at all the social ills which existed in places, for example, like Baghdad at the time or in Iran, and they say this was cause and effect. But if you actually do a deeper dive into history and look at the 15th century, the 16th century, the 17th century, what you find are the same social ills existed, sometimes much worse, rather than creating the spark which led to instability or societal breakdown. Oftentimes, the British were the glue which were holding societies together.
Yeah, it is interesting. And there's also some consideration here, Michael, when you look at this, at least for me, because I look at it from a spiritual lens. And I ask, where was God in the midst of this? Where God was prevalent, there seemed to be some sense of peace. And when God was taken off, out of the center and off the throne, so to speak, if I can put it in those terms, chaos ensued, which is interesting because it seems to me this is kind of what we're experiencing here in America today.
Well, indeed, I think that's absolutely right. We can look at this in a whole number of fashions, not just with regard to the fruits of colonialism, but if you want to look at the nuclear family, if you want to correlate issues like racism or the faults which are attributed to quote-unquote systematic racism, what you actually find is a much more correlation to negatives across race, across gender, across whatever identity group when the nuclear family breaks down. When
exactly.
People lose religion, when they lose a sense of community that's provided through a church, a synagogue, a mosque, it seems that we are comparing apples and oranges, and people bend over backwards not to see the obvious, which is removing yourself from society, removing yourself from faith has tremendous consequences across generations.
Exactly. And, I'll tell you, Michael, you've said that so well. And my prayer is that the audience, others, that this would be a contagion, a philosophical pandemic, so to speak, where people would realize that, like the law of gravity, you can only violate it, so many times without realizing, hey, maybe I got to quit throwing myself off the roof because it hurts when I hit the ground here.
Well, you're absolutely right. And when we actually look at other movements, this is the frustrating issue. If we look at how, people who have become extreme environmental activists or extreme so-called gender activists, oftentimes what they're trying to do is replicate the community of a church, but doing it around a transitory political movement. Much more importantly, they're trying to replicate the intolerance of perhaps certain religious movements centuries ago to try to excommunicate those who don't agree with them. And ultimately, I think we need to get back to faith as we've had exegesis over the years to really create a community of spirit rather than having these transitory political movements act as substitutes.
100%, I agree that because here we are, we're paying a grave price for this, because basically there's an exchange. I mean, it's one God for another. I mean, it's the human condition.
Let's call it what it is.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. I mean, here we are. I mean, based on theories, whether we're talking, racial injustice, critical race theory, climate, I mean, it was in the beginning God, not in the beginning Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Al Gore created the heavens and earth. No, it was God himself who said he brought all manner of order to, to the creation of the heavens and earth. And now all of a sudden, here's this new religion of climate. And it's all based on a theory. And when and here we are coming off this season of you must follow the science. Well, follow the science. Tell me where the science supports. I mean, irrefutably supports climate change. And I'm not talking about because you paid off a bunch of academics to give you a paper so that you can take it to everybody and say, see, here, because just like inflation and recession and everything else that people are experiencing with their own eyes, Michael, they can see that this is bogus.
Well, Bill, look, you normally have me on to talk about foreign policy, Iran and Russia, but as you know, my first degree was actually in environmental science, and I don't mean the soft and fluffy sort. I mean the mathematical, hard science aspects of this. I did my first dissertation, my bachelor's dissertation, admittedly, looking at climate correlations across, 65 million years ago, mathematical modeling with regard to fossil development and so forth. So I say this with some grounding. What's always frustrated me when I want to follow the science is when you're conducting science, you isolate a single variable in the lab. When it comes to meteorology, you're not able to isolate a variable. There's any numbers of them, some of which we don't even know exist, which is why the computer models oftentimes are so faulty and have no predictive value. Don't trust me. I'm getting this directly from meteorologists when I have this discussion with them. It's the non-scientists who try to impose an orthodoxy, which the scientists aren't so arrogant as to try to impose.
And then we come back to that age-old issue that has been part of human history, and that is power and control, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's what it comes down to. Again, it frustrates me completely when I see congressmen lecturing on the economy, lecturing on inflation when they've never taken a single economics course in their life, when we see politicians doing the same thing with regard to climate. Now, I'm not one who wants to devolve control to a class of experts because that's fundamentally undemocratic. But at the same time, what frustrates me is how politicians try to shut down debate, and part of that, I think, is because they have a lack of self-confidence in their own knowledge. They know that if you actually debate them on the science, if you debate them on the nitty-gritty and the details, they're going to be lost because they're getting all their information from the same one page of talking points that ultimately has its
exactly
with someone like Al Gore.
Yeah, sadly, it's demonstrative of the depth of their intelligence, isn't it, sadly? And when you think that, boy, this is why the First Amendment, our founding fathers were brilliant in, you know, saying that our First Amendment was so important for us to have this conversation so that we can continue to sit down and reason together and come to the truth. And to me, that's what true science is all about, Michael. Am I off base here?
No, you're absolutely right. And what I find fascinating is so many scientists have turned to God to understand that that initial spark started with something. It was there. And this is what so many in popular culture don't understand.
Dr. Michael Rubin is with us. We're going to talk Ukraine. We're going to talk about Europe, Russia. Stay with us. Lots to discuss with the good doctor. Stay with us.
If your refrigerator, your washer, your dryer, or any other major appliance in your home breaks right now, do you have an extra $1,000 laying around to fix it or buy a new one? And hey, that's on the low end. Wouldn't you rather spend $1 a day and make sure all the major appliances in your home are guaranteed to be fixed or replaced? Then call the Home Service Club right now for a free quote and a free month. Trust us, any major appliance in your home is guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You could spend $1 a day and have the peace of mind and the coverage for all your major appliances. Or you could be prepared to shell out thousands of dollars or more without protection. So call right now and get a free quote and a free month. Call right now.
800-238-9153. 800-238-9153. 800-238-9153. That's 800-238-9153.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-459-9156. 800-459-9156. 800-459-9156. That's 800-459-9156. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Hey, we're back with you 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Dr. Michael Rubin continues with this, the former Pentagon official, contributor to the Washington Examiner's Beltway Confidential and senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. Michael, I wanted you to report and give us an idea in terms of how you see England post Queen Elizabeth II. Quite a difference between her and her son. I mean, she leaves an incredible legacy. You know, it's interesting, you know, the media being what it likes to do is trying to do anything they can to end up with some sort of, I don't know, mud fight between, you know, Kate and Meghan. It's like, please, you know, of all the things that England has to deal with, it's like, you know, why bring up the pettiness? And I hesitate to bring it up right now. I just only that maybe we can put this thing to bed and say, hey, the chips are going to fall where they're going to fall and leave well enough alone. Here's a family that's grieving. And, you know. And I think the king has made it quite clear that, you know, Meghan and Harry have made their choice to live across the ocean, and God bless them in so many words, right?
That's what I read it. I'm not honestly, I don't pay that much attention to the ins and outs of that sort of tabloid focus. What I've been focusing much more, I mean, I certainly recognize it, and I recognize that King Charles III has done a very able job of trying to put that to rest, despite the best efforts of some of the tabloid journalists over in Britain. That said, I think what everyone is watching is whether King Charles III is going to have the wisdom of his mother. His mother, who was, of course, queen during the terms of over 15 prime ministers from Winston Churchill to the present day, understood that she should stand apart from politics. The problem today is, as Prince, Charles engaged heavily in politics. And what worries me is the tendency, not only in England, but also in the United States, to say that certain issues aren't political. When we look at, quote-unquote, systematic racism, that's not a debate about politics. That's just fact, or about transgenderism, or about the environment. The question is whether King Charles III is going to try to sidestep the self-discipline that his mother had in order to engage. If he does engage, I'm afraid it's going to be disastrous for the monarchy. Several years ago, I wrote a piece based on his climate activism, based on his efforts to shut down debates, that he really was becoming the Pol Pot of climate change. And I don't mean to suggest that he was ready to murder people, but he was ready to make fundamental trades which would undermine freedom on a very broad scale. I hope he's not going to use his platform to pursue that.
Yes, I think a lot of people are hoping the same as you. He made it clear in other interviews post that period of time that when he became king, then he would be apolitical. And so far, so good. So we'll see how that plays out. I want to transition to Ukraine. You wrote a column saying this, you know, what Ukraine needs to do to ensure Russia never invades again. Break that down, if you would.
Well, basically, I was looking at the future. What happens when this war is over? This isn't the first time which Russia has victimized Ukraine. During the Soviet Union, of course, the Russians purposely starved 3 to 4 million Ukrainians. Post-independence, just 8 years ago, we had a Russian invasion of Crimea and Donetsk and Luhansk. Vladimir Putin hoped to finish the job. Clearly, there's a problem here, and it's not Ukraine's fault. Now, I was never one who wanted Ukraine to be a member of NATO before, but now I believe they have no choice. Much more controversially, but I will argue it, repeatedly if I need to, I do believe that Ukraine needs its own nuclear deterrence. Back in 1994, there was something called the Budapest Memorandum, in which Ukraine gave up its nuclear weapons in exchange for guarantees of sovereignty over its territory. Russia has violated that, and the United States has done nothing to guarantee Ukraine the way we promised we would. Therefore, can Ukraine really rely on the West in the future? Can it rely on the Germans, who are as venal and commercialist as they've ever been? I'd argue that they need to be able to put their own deterrence in their own hands to make sure this never happens again.
Good point. I would feel a lot more comfortable with them as opposed to, you know, Iran.
Well, absolutely. And remember, at the fall of the Soviet Union, for all Vladimir Putin says that the West mistreated Russia, as Garry Kasparov, the former chess grandmaster and Russian democracy activist, has put, we conspired with Moscow to ensure that they were the only nuclear power among the former Soviet states. We never charged reparations for the damage they had done to Eastern Europe or to the constituent Soviet republics. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is, there's no reason why we need to preserve that sort of power dynamic. Also remember that when during Jimmy Carter's reign, as a result of the Richard Nixon dealings, we switched recognition at the United Nations from Taiwan, the Republic of China, to the People's Republic of China. The question we need to ask now is whether Russia should be the inheritor of the Soviet UN seat, or perhaps it's time to switch to a different power among the former Soviet republics.
Exactly. Now, when it comes to Putin, it appears that he's losing ground here in Ukraine. He's retreating. Michael, what's Putin's next step? I mean, we know him. If he gets backed in a corner, he's gonna come out like a very angry bear. And what can we look forward to here in dealing, you know, with Russia and the next steps of one Vladimir Putin?
Well, you know, that's the $64 million question, Bill. You know, I haven't been to Ukraine, but when people I know who have recently been there just in the last week or so said this is the question that's dominating. When I saw the rapid Russian collapse on the eastern front of Ukraine, the thing I thought about is whether it was a purposeful withdrawal that he was going to turn to his tactical nuclear weapons, because while the United States has stopped modernizing our nuclear arsenal, the Russians have been building not only big bombs, but also small bombs, which they can use on the battlefield. Are they going to turn toward that sort of tactic? And then the question becomes, what can we do to stop them? I mean, ultimately, rather than be reactive, we need to be proactive. We need to tell Vladimir Putin and those around him exactly what's going to happen to Russia, exactly what's going to happen to them personally, should they use any nuclear weapons. Unfortunately, I think the 2012 red line with regard to chemical weapons use in Syria has that President Obama laid and then allowed to be violated has led some in Putin's inner circle to believe that the United States is a paper tiger. The Biden administration needs to make clear right now that that's not the case. Otherwise, we're going to be in for a world of hurt.
Exactly. And as you reported last time we talked, Michael, is that we can't, the world cannot lose Ukraine to Russia, can it?
No. I mean, ultimately, I would argue that there are a couple countries right now who are on the front line in the defense of the liberal order against forces of autocracy and 21st century fascism. They are Israel, Greece, and Ukraine. And Cyprus, to that, unoccupied Cyprus, for that matter. We need to stand by them and realize that they are on the front lines. For that matter, Taiwan is as well.
Michael, you mentioned how Russia has invested in their military-industrial complex, and we received a report here several weeks ago, the Pentagon saying, hey, we're short on ammo. What is going on here?
Well, ultimately, I would have to defer to some of my colleagues at the American Enterprise Institute who focus on this much more directly. But we need to look at what we need not only to fight the last war, but what we need to fight the next war. Some people might say that we're short because we keep getting involved because we're helping Ukraine. But what Ukraine actually needs is not American weaponry. They need old Russian weaponry because that's what they've been trained on. The question is, what can we do to convince the Eastern Bloc nations, who have been much better than the Western Europe, what can we do to convince countries like Cyprus to give up their old Russian arms to Ukraine? And then maybe we can work not only in upgrading our own arsenal, but helping them replace theirs as well.
And you're back to the consideration here of otherwise you're negotiating with the Russians, which Trump warned even Germany. And I still see the video at the United Nations where the German constituents and contingent were kind of laughing and mocking at Trump, you know, when he mentioned to them, said, you guys are making a huge mistake here dealing with Putin. You know, you want to know what somebody's going to do? Look what they've done. He's got control of the spigot, and he's going to bring pain to you if you ally with him. And look what happened. Trump was exactly right, because here they are, right? Go ahead.
Let's not forget Barack Obama's put down of Mitt Romney during that debate more than a decade ago, in which Obama not only disagreed but sought to mock Romney for suggesting that Russia posed a grave challenge to the international order.
Well, you know, and that's interesting, because, you know, Barack Obama has been right many times when it comes to criticizing people in a negative way. It's just the opposite is true. Whether, like you said, whether he's mocking, you know, Mitt Romney, oh my gosh, he ends up being right, or Donald Trump in terms of the economy. What, has he got a magic wand? Well, I guess Donald Trump must have had a magic wand, because in both cases, and that's just citing a few here, Barack Obama zero, and Mitt Romney and Donald Trump two.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable. Michael, I appreciate the insight as always. Thank you so much for giving us some time. Look forward to having you back with as you keep us updated on what is happening right now, because Europe has got some, you know, tough winter months ahead with the shortage of fuel and their energy sector being compromised. We got about 20 seconds left. I'm going to let you wrap it up.
Well, absolutely. Perhaps, I mean, the thing that really struck me is that Russia subsidized the environmentalists to ensure that Europe wasn't energy independent. We shouldn't make the same mistake here.
There it is. Dr. Michael Rubin. He is the former Pentagon official, contributor to the Washington Examiner's Beltway Confidential, and senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. Thank you, Michael. Godspeed, my friend. Take care.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history, physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's BETTER to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's BETTER to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.